everybody. Welcome to our online worship service. My name is Amanda. I get to be one of the pastors here, and I'm excited that you are with us for worship today for part two in our message series, Find Your People, Love Your Neighbors. In part one, last week, we talked about how God created us for relationship. God created us to need and know each other. But if we're honest, that's not what we live like. And I don't know about you, but I don't think living that way is working out all that well for us. Maybe you've heard the stats already, but people today are lonely. In a time where technology can keep us more connected than ever, people today are experiencing more loneliness and disconnection and isolation than ever before. And that's bad for us. The United States Surgeon General has released a new advisory bringing attention once again to the public health issue of loneliness, social isolation, and disconnection in our country. Loneliness is bad for our physical, mental, and societal health. Earlier this year, the American Psychological Association came out with a poll showing that 1 to 3 adults in this country experience loneliness once a week. And there are so many disciplines that are looking at this problem of loneliness right now. Everybody from doctors to mental health professionals to teachers to parents to pastors, even economists are looking at the problem of loneliness. And apparently working adults could be missing out on $8,000 to $12,000 of potential earning every year as a result of social disconnection, social isolation, and loneliness. It's this tricky problem to look at, really, because loneliness, it sounds like an individual problem. Like if I'm feeling lonely, that's a me problem. And if you're feeling lonely, that's a you problem. But we're finding that the problem of loneliness, it's often showing up in tandem or in conjunction with mental health issues. And so it's kind of a chicken and an egg. What came first, this experience of loneliness or this mental health challenge? One of the things that we're learning about loneliness and isolation is that it's really an us problem. It's not a me problem, it's not a you problem, it's an us problem. We're learning that our communities are structured in ways that promote individualism and unintentionally perpetuate loneliness. And we're seeing, like we've seen with a lot of different kinds of social problems, marginalized communities are more vulnerable to experiencing this problem of loneliness and isolation. So groups like new mothers or veterans or the elderly or Gen Z, our young adults, are groups that are all experiencing loneliness, social isolation at higher rates. So that's why we're talking about this, because you know what our church is made up of? Our church is made up of people like new mothers and some veterans and the elderly, older folks, and Gen Z, our younger folks. Our church is made up of communities like this. So we have to think, we have to assume that folks in our community that our church reaches are struggling with loneliness more than we want to admit. So that's why we're talking about it. Finding your people, finding people who help you not experience loneliness can be hard, especially when you're younger, especially when you're a teenager. Maybe you're still figuring out who you are and what's important to you. You're going through a lot of different changes all the time during your adolescent years. Sometimes you find yourself growing up or growing out of a certain friend group. Other times you realize that the group of people you spend all your time with isn't the group where you can actually be yourself and feel most comfortable. Maybe you've been pushed out or left behind by a group of friends. This is actually a common experience that those who traveled with us to our mission trip to Pittsburgh experienced. I couldn't actually believe how many times this same story thread was popping up from our younger students to our oldest students to even the program leader and some of our adult leaders on the trip could talk about moments where they had outgrown a friend group, where they'd been left behind by a friend group, where they didn't know who or what their friend group was anymore. Even the program leader who was doing the evening speaking each night had stories to share about times in high school where they didn't know who their friend group was anymore. In a lot of ways, I think our trip was healing for this particular group of students we brought on the trip because they had a chance to share about their common experience. They had a chance to hear that they were not alone, that other people had gone through and become on the other side of what they've experienced. We had a group of students that had a big age difference. 11 years old was our youngest students and 19 was our oldest students. And I didn't really know how they were all gonna come together, how they would get along. And I witnessed how God used us that week and our different experiences and our different ages and what we had gone through to support and encourage and be there for one another. PRPC students exist to engage and inspire teenagers to share God's love, grow in faith, and serve our neighbors. And there's something that our students have expressed that they experience with our group that is different than other groups they spend time with. And I think I know why. You might too. It's because of Jesus. When Jesus was preparing to return to the Father after being punished and suffering on the cross, he was trying to prepare the disciples also for what was to come next. In the midst of washing the disciples' feet in the act of this servant love and telling Peter, one of his closest friends and followers, that his faith would waver and he would doubt who Jesus is and deny him. In the midst of all of that, Jesus says this to his followers, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will come to know that you are my disciples if you love one another." At PRPC Students, we have made this our mission to share the unconditional, radically inclusive love of Jesus with every teenager we meet. You don't have to want to go to church. We do know that some teenagers get dragged to church by their parents. You don't have to want to read the Bible or sing our church songs. You don't have to want to believe in God or want anything to do with the church. You don't have to do anything for us, for me, to love you like Jesus would. That is what we do. Just by being here, you belong here. But let's be honest. That is not how most people grow up feeling about church. Church for a lot of people was a place with a lot of strings attached, a place where you had to be perfect, never mess up, never doubt, never ask questions. That facade of the perfect Christian that who has it all put together, it's just that, it's a facade, and it's not helping us. So for our students, for their parents, for their families, the message that we want to send is the opposite. We believe because of who Jesus is and how Jesus loved, you always get to belong here. Even before you might believe Jesus is who he says he is. Even if you never believe what we believe about Jesus, you get to belong here. And those aren't just words that we live out. Those aren't just words we say. They are values that we live out. And we got to see this on the mission trip one more time this year with our two oldest students, Maeve and Lexi. So Maeve, if you've been around us, you might remember, worked on our staff last summer as our summer intern. She got involved with our church through a hunger program that we host here called Sunday Night Suppers. When I took Maeve on her first mission trip, she spent like the whole time kind of saying how she wasn't really a part of our youth group. She would say things like, well, I don't go to this church, or I'm not part of the youth group, I just know Amanda, which was all true. But by the end of the week, she knew what I had already known to be true, that she was one of us. And by the end of the week, she was saying, I feel like I found a youth group. So Maeve got more involved with PRPC and she became an intern and she worked here last summer. And even when her family up and moved to Massachusetts, when she went to college, she decided to come back and be a part of our mission trip this summer. And she invited her best friend, Lexi. Lexi had no idea what this mission trip was like, what we were really doing, but she has always been somebody up for an adventure and always up for service. And she wanted to spend a week with her best friend. And so I think it was like the second or third night Maeve came up to me and she said, "Lexi, like, couldn't believe how welcoming and inviting this youth group was." She said, "You know, I can't believe that they don't just think of me as Maeve's friend, but they want to know me. Like, they want to know who Lexi is." And Maeve was like, "Yeah, that's how it works." And when she told me the story, I just kind of like wrapped her in a hug and I was like, "Yeah, that is how it works." That might not sound like a big deal, it might sound very simple or not like a moment worth sharing, but it is actually the foundation of what we do here and how God is using us to share God's love with the next generation. It's making a difference. But we don't want that to just be true for students. We want that to be true for everybody. We want everybody to get to experience being known and accepted the way our teenagers do. We want you to find your people. I wonder what it would look like if finding your people didn't mean finding people who were just like you, but finding people who just let you be you. I think that's what loving one another like Jesus is all about. Jesus met people where they were. Jesus spent time with people who were really different than him, people who no one wanted to spend time with. Jesus saw things in people that they couldn't see in themselves, and Jesus was so patient as people tried and failed and tried again to follow in the way that Jesus was leading. Jesus loves us for who we are, just as we are. I have this in my office. It's on the bookcase behind where I sit every day. Pastor Josh gave it to me a few years ago. And it says that everybody needs somebody who knows the answers to these questions. Do you know my name? Do you know what matters to me? Do you know where I live? Do you know what I can do? Do you know what I've done? No matter who we are or what age we are, I think if we have people in our lives who know the answers to these questions, we will have found our people. We will have found people who know the real us. And we all need places where we can just be ourselves, be just who we are, not needing to pretend, not needing to perform, but just be ourselves. That's what our students get to experience at PRPC, and it's what I want our adults to get to experience too. I don't know that many people who would want to go back and be a teenager again. I don't think I would. But there is one thing that teenagers have on us that we are a little envious of, and that is time and proximity with their peers. Never again after you graduate high school or graduate college are you going to be surrounded by that many people in your same age and stage of life where you have the chance to form the kinds of relationships with people who know the real you. Once you're an adult, that gets a little bit harder to find community. But that's one of the things our church and any church has to offer. We are community. It is who we are. It's why we're here. And more than that, we have a community that gets together once a week, every week at the same time. We are always community here. And you can always show up and be here. By being here, you already belong here. I think that is becoming more and more who we are as a community. One of our PRPC parents said this a few years ago about their kids, about how their kids love being at church and that they, as the mom, just love that it's always there. Like, church is just always reliably there. And as I've grown into my parenting years and thought about Sundays with my kids, I think about Sundays sometimes as like a playdate I didn't have to plan. I can walk in here with my kids and know I'm going to see a few more kids and a few caring adults, and I didn't have to set it up. We are just here together. We consistently hear from people about how inviting and welcoming our church is, and I do know that to be true. But I do think there is a challenge, an invitation for us to pick up about how we can continue to be deeper community together. If everybody needs somebody who knows the answers to those questions, do you know my name? Do you know what matters to me? Do you know where I live? Do you know what I can do? Do you know what I've done? The answers to those questions come as we spend time with one another, as we spend time consistently with one another. Not like a hi and bye, nice to see you at church kind of conversation, but ones that spend more time. And that's what we get on our trips with our students, and it's why I wish I could force everybody to go on a mission trip, is because the biggest thing we get is time to be community together. So here's the invitation I have for us as we think about being community. Are we going to be the kind of people who help people find their people? Are we going to commit to being the kind of people who ask questions like this, who spend time with people and get curious about who they are? In developing these relationships, we can help people feel like we know the real them, that they can be whoever they are here in our community, but also on your block, also in your apartment building. When are we going to be the kinds of people who commit to knowing this about the people in our lives? We all need to find our people. And I think God is inviting Park Ridge Presbyterian Church to be the place where people can find their people. I hope you come back next week as we talk about part three, where we talk about how we can love our neighbors and be community builders wherever we are, whether that's here in the Park Ridge community or surrounding communities or other places where we spend time. Let's continue to discover where God is leading us to be community builders. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the communities that have shaped us, the communities that we have found. But God, we lift up to you all those who are feeling disconnected and cut off from community right now. God, help us give us eyes to see where our structures are limiting. Give us eyes to see how this is an us problem, and you are inviting, you are calling, you are leading us to be community builders. God, we pray for those of us who are in pits of loneliness and darkness right now that your Spirit would comfort us. For those of us that have found our people and found our place, God, would you help us bring that to more people so that we can all experience your love and compassion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.